You have a background in agriculture, a family farm as well. How do you believe that your background helped you prepare for this particular role?
Oh, I think it was critical actually in preparing for this role, because to understand agriculture is to me such an important part of being the director of this agency, so that when somebody calls me up, or somebody when I go to a meeting, they start asking me about livestock, about corn or soybeans or ethanol or whatever, that I just have that just an overview, an understanding of what the issue is. I think it gives you credibility as you try to move forward with relating to that person or that topic or that subject. So with the farming background, I think is very important. I think on top of that, my business experience, is running, being a partner and running a family business, auction business, in my case, real estate and auction business. I think that certainly, we had close to 50 employees, full-time employees, so I know what it takes to run a business and making payroll every month and keeping, finding good people to hire. And then the third thing, obviously my 14 years in the General Assembly on the legislative side, that's just the politics of the job. It's important to understand that as well. And I think, and once again, it just gives you a better understanding of what some of the requirements and needs are.
What are your biggest priorities in this role?
Well, initially, obviously, I'm trying to get my hands around the agency and try to figure out what all the requirements and needs of the agency are, duties and responsibilities are. And certainly, as a director of Ag and the Department of Ag, a lot of our responsibilities are regulatory. So it's administrating and overseeing and making sure that both state and federal regulations and laws are followed. But it's another part of it is also trying to be being a spokesperson for agriculture, promoting agriculture, trying to improve markets and opportunities for farmers and farm businesses around the state. And so towards that end, priorities are trying to create better opportunities and more opportunities for rural development out in the obviously in the rural parts of the state. One of the things that we've seen all over the state, and obviously many other states as well, is a loss of population in those rural areas. And so if I can and the state of Illinois can find opportunities for young people especially to stay in maybe where they were born and raised and hopefully raise their families there, and so that we can stabilize those population losses, make for a better economy, grow the economy in those areas, I think that there would be no greater achievement than that.
You're coming into this position at a time that's recently been particularly difficult for agriculture and farmers. There's been trade uncertainty, the federal government shut down. How do you navigate that? And what message do you want to give to farmers and people within the industry here in Illinois?
Well, if you're a farmer, you're an eternal optimist to begin with, right? You have to be. So, every spring you put the seed in the ground, you watch the livestock be born and you hope for the best. And so we are eternal optimists, number one. But number two, we've ridden the waves before, up and down. Gosh, we think back when the swine industry, just the bottom fell out of it, and really tough time then. Back in the 70s and the 80s, commodity prices were extremely low and interest rates were extremely high. And so we've seen those challenges before. And we've always found ways to figure out a solution, to come up with a solution to the problem. That's one thing a farmer is very good at. And so we're in a tough time right now. There's no doubt about it. We have some really huge issues, commodity prices, trade issues that we are, government uncertainty. All those are factors that we are dealing with. But I think that because we're optimists, we know that there will be times better down the road. I do see the farm community getting more involved in government and in the process, and trying to make sure that their voices are heard. That's something that I stress everywhere I go and whoever I speak to, because we are a very small population. When you look at the number of producers, we're very small, even though our impact is huge, through the ripple effect of taking our commodities from production out through the final wholesale resale process. So, we're an optimistic bunch, and we'll get through these tough times like we have in the past.
Industrial hemp just passed by the General Assembly and signed into law. First question, I know that the Farm Bureau has been attempting to push an industrial hemp bill for quite some time. Were you there and were you an advocate for this? And then second part of that question, farmers have been dealing with declining crop prices for years now. Is this an opportunity to kind of offset some of that? You mentioned that there has been a lot of excitement around it.
Yeah. So first of all, I was certainly involved with the hemp discussion, possible legislation when I was in the Senate, but it just was not on, kind of wasn't on the top of anybody's wish list. I don't know really why. There were some people that really pushed it very hard and others that it just, I don't know why it never really made it any further than it did. But I will say that right now there does seem to be a tremendous amount of enthusiasm for it. And I do believe it's because, number one, it can give us another commodity to sell. And anytime we can diversify our portfolio, we're going to reduce risk and it's going to give us other opportunities. And so I think that's number one. Number two, and it kind of goes back to our earlier discussion with regard to rural development, I think that it could give some opportunities for some farmers, maybe not some large farmers, but some smaller operations, you know, a half acre or an acre or 5 acres, you know, that to grow hemp on, that it will give us some other smaller farmers really some opportunities to, you know, stay involved with agriculture.
You're listening to Statewide, and I'm Jacqueline Driscoll sitting down with the new Director of Agriculture, John Sullivan. Recreational marijuana is very different from hemp, which we were just talking about, but also an important discussion throughout the state at this particular time. The Department of Agriculture will likely be in charge of regulating cultivation sites. Is that going to create a larger burden on the department? Is this department capable of doing that if a bill does pass?
Oh, I think it absolutely would. I mean, number one, I think we would be the logical agency to oversee the growing and the cultivating of marijuana like we do now with the medical marijuana. And so we have a lot of people that have become knowledgeable and I think could transition into the recreational marijuana if that does happen. But I think how large of an industry this is going to be or could become, I mean, we've heard some tremendous numbers. If it does get to, as it does grow, it's going to simply take more personnel and more manpower. And so we're going to need more resources. So as that discussion moves forward, I certainly hope to be able to contribute and add to the conversation and to stress to the lawmakers, if this is going to happen, what kind of resources that we as a department are going to need to oversee it.
Will you be a part of negotiations moving forward?
You know, I don't know about negotiations. Certainly hope to have some input. You know, if a legislator or if the governor's office reaches out and says, you know, John, we're talking about this specific aspect of marijuana and the production of it in the state. What's your thoughts or what kind of impact is that going to have on the department? I would hope that I could give my input and insight into it. I'm not going to go out and stand on a bandwagon and say this is what we want. I don't think that's our role. But if they do ask for our input, certainly we want to be able to inject that.